please open your Bibles to Jeremiah. And we'll be studying in Romans chapter 11, but in Romans there are comments about being grafted in. And we want to understand that. Grafted into what? Well, we're grafted. Those that were grafted in to an olive tree. And we want to find out what the olive tree is, who it is, what it's about. So let's look in Jeremiah 11, verses 16 and 17. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and good, of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. Verse 17. Thank you, Janice. Verse 17. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. So we see it right there. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree. And he's talking about the house of Israel, the house of Judah, in the next verse, being that olive tree. So combining all that, the nation of Israel is the olive tree that is spoken of in Romans 11 there. So Jeremiah 11:16 mentioned that the branches of it are broken off. And goes on in verse 17. In 16 it says they are broken. In 17 it says they're broken off. And let me just check that. That might be a bad reference. But for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah. And then in Romans, going back to Romans 11. Verses 19 and 20. In 19 we see the branches were broken off. And because of unbelief, they were broken off. Gives a reason. Israel's unbelief. Alright, Paul is saying that whoever these individual persons were, and he speaks of them in past tense, that did not believe, they were broken off. It's right there in the text, you know, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And it was those persons that were the branches that were broken off. So those broken off branches are the individual Israelites that disbelieved God. And I know there are other outlooks on that, and the difference there I don't think is significant. It is significant when people try to say that Jeremiah 11, 16, and 17 is not true, or, you know, somehow it doesn't mean that Israel is the olive tree. Israel is the olive tree. So, in the Old Testament, the disbelieving Israelites were the ones that offered incense to Baal. Back in, you know, it's spoken of there in Jeremiah 11, 16, and 17 that we started with. And here in Paul's Acts 20 epistle to the Romans, to all that be in Rome, they were the ones that did not believe that Jesus was the prophesied Christ, the Son of God, that rose from the dead. They did not believe those facts about Jesus, that he was the one prophesied in the Old Testament. The one coming to bear the sins of his people Israel. The one that would be a prophet like unto Moses for them to accept. And so they are, or were, the broken off branches in Romans 11 verse 7 and verses 17 through 24. That whole passage that's about the olive tree and grafting in and breaking off and all that. That's who they were, the unbelieving Israelites. So the broken off branches are those Israelites offering incense to Baal in unbelief, going away from God and from his warnings not to go after other gods. and they're the ones that later, not the same individuals, but the same group, the same type of disbelief, that they later rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on the cross. So those broken off branches were the unbelieving Israelites of the nation of Israel, the apostate Israelites. They are the rest that were blinded when you read Romans 11:7. What then? Hath Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. These unbelieving Israelites were the rest that were blinded. Well, what about the olive tree, the wild olive tree? The wild olive tree was everyone other than Israel. Man went wild after Noah's flood, long before God called out Abram. And you can see that. I don't see it in my notes here. Let's take a minute and go to Romans 1 and look at 1 verse 22, I think we'll start with. Well, it's about, let me go to 20. If we can start in Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Talking about those that could have known God, but didn't. He was manifested to them in this way, in nature, if nothing else. If they would have believed, they could have followed it up and found God. God would have made sure they found him if they were believers. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, first they became vain. They weren't thankful. They didn't glorify God. And they were vain in their imaginations. And then their foolish heart was darkened. So God doesn't, God gives people a choice, put it that way, before they're set in their hardness, hardened in their way. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then in 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Can you imagine worshiping that? Instead of the God of creation. Wherefore, God also gave them up. That's the state of the Gentiles. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And listen to this. They worshipped and served the creature, what God had created, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. Sad situation. People think, I'm as good as the next guy. God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So the Gentiles were without God, and there could have been a few that said, I want to find God. God is working through Israel. I'll find out about Israel's covenants. I'll go where the scriptures are in the synagogues. I'll find out my position, what God has placed me as an outsider, not part of Israel, but I'm going to cooperate however I can, be a servant of Israel. I'll bless Israel. There were people like that came. For instance, Ruth. Rahab She realized how, you know, that God was working through Israel. And others, I'm sure it's, they're not the only ones. But, you know, you get to the New Testament. After Paul, when Paul starts on his missionary journeys, he's sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Those Jew blessers coming to the synagogues to find God. That, you know, that they didn't know, most of them didn't know that Christ had already come. What they knew was, I believe the covenants. I believe Genesis 12, 1 through 3. In 3 it says, God said, I will bless them that bless Israel. That bless you. So they came to bless Israel. But they found, they were the ones that were instrumental in bringing more Jews to a knowledge of the truth and to salvation. They were, you know, God used them to provoke Israel to want to copy what they had, the salvation that Paul preached. Well, let me get back to the notes here. We'll see that being a proselyte, somebody that blessed God, blessed Israel, and went further to want to become an Israelite, they got circumcised. All their males were circumcised in their family. And being a proselyte, that's related to being grafted into the olive tree. So let's review, I don't want you to believe just because I say it. We're going to look through the verses, you know. In fact, don't believe it just because somebody says something. But let's review what constitutes being a proselyte into Israel. God required circumcision as a sign or a token of God's covenant with Israel. And some of the verses we looked at yesterday apply here, so let's go back and look at them. Genesis 17. Verses 12, 13, and 14. Starting with Genesis 17:12, and he said, let me just get a sip here, hold on. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. So, in other words, not descended from Jacob. He that is born in thy house and he that is born bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child which whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. But what if a non-Jew wanted to be part of Israel? Look at the situation around the feast time of the Passover. And especially, I think this is referring to the first Passover, actually. In Exodus 12, verses 43, 48, and 49. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. So only Israelites could partake of the Passover feast. Just like only Israelites could go into the temple later on when the temple was built. Again, what if a non-Jew wanted to be part of Israel or its events? Look in verse 48, Exodus 12, 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will, it's his will, in other words, he wants to, and will keep the Passover of the Lord. And here's the condition that qualifies the stranger to be called a Jew. Let all his males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Well, that has to do with the grafting into Israel, the olive tree. He has, verse 48, he shall be as one that is born in the land. Let all his males be circumcised, that he shall be as one that is born in the land. So the olive tree was Israel, and those proselyted Gentiles that did believe, and you can see a parallel there in Romans 2, I think it is. Romans, was it 4? No, 2. Starting about 24 or 20, verse 25, but we don't need to go there now. But the olive tree was Israel, and the proselyted Gentiles were grafted into the olive tree. And into Israel's promises, too. Remember, in Jeremiah 11, verses 16 and 17, the Lord calls the house of Israel and the house of Judah a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. There were Israelites that did not believe. They went after Baal, offered incense to Baal. So here in, well, they were broken off too, but here in Romans chapter 11, Paul, well-versed in the Old Testament, is talking about Israel's apostate branches that had been broken off. Some of the branches were broken off of Israel, the olive tree, and thou being a Gentile, a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them into Israel, the olive tree, as part of the commonwealth of Israel. The wider, you know, accumulation of believers, not just the nation of Israel, but those that believed also. Maybe we should go to that Romans section. It's so analogous. Let's look, where does that start? 25. This is Romans 2, 25 through 29. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Not just you broke the law and you're circumcised and have to make it right, or, you know, bring sacrifices, but you're made uncircumcision if you break the law. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, there you've got those believing Gentiles that want to be part of, you know, the law of God. If the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not the uncircumcision, those that aren't Israel, which is by nature, in other words, he's born that way and stays that way, if he fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter of by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law. So, in other words, those believing Gentiles in Israel's program were in a better position than the unbelieving Jews in Israel's program. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew. Remember, he's talking only about Jews here in the first place. The Jews that were broken off. And he says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So those Jews, there were some that believed. And it talks about them some in there, but there were some that disbelieved. They were broken off, and those Gentiles that were grafted in by being circumcised, they were in right position in the olive tree in God's realm there. You know, his It wasn't the earthly kingdom yet, but it was the group, like the Israel of God. So I want to get back to my notes, and I try to keep things in order in the notes, and that keeps me from straying too far, I hope. But as Gentiles, they became, again, past tense, it's something that had happened before Paul came along, and Paul is talking about it. He's not recommending it. He's not recommending being proselyted into Israel or grafted into the olive tree like those proselytes had been. But he's acknowledging that it happened and talking about it here as part of this section after salvation and after living God's life section, the second part of Romans 6, 7, and 8. After that, he's talking about why Israel didn't make it, why they didn't receive their kingdom, why you can't get to God by Israel's doctrine anymore. And so, as the Gentiles became circumcised as proselytes, they were grafted into the commonwealth of Israel, the wider group of Israel. And they got in under Israel's covenants of promise in that way. They were involved in them. And that's how they got into the olive tree, into Israel's commonwealth. They rested in the law. Partaking is, you know, when we're talking in those verses there about partaking of Israel's blessings, that's under Genesis 12:3. That promise that God made to Abram and his seed, that those that bless the seed of Abraham, he would bless. And do we have Genesis 12:3? And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Those are strong promises about people that bless Israel. That's outsiders, that's Gentiles that bless Israel. And other Gentiles, or those that become Gentiles by breaking the law and cursing Israel, cursing their Messiah, actually, they become outside of Israel and curse him. And then you've got in Abram, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, that happened in one way that was not foretold, and that this isn't, you know, spilling the beans about, but it happened, as was revealed to Paul, by Jesus Christ dying for our sins. That we didn't know that was, and they didn't know, Moses, whoever wrote Genesis, didn't know it at the time. But what they're talking about is later on, after God is done adding, you know, the third from the last, second from the last, and finally the last believer that's going to believe Paul's gospel, adding them into the body of Christ, then he catches us up to be with him, and Israel's prophecy, their prophetic, the fulfillment of their prophecies begins again, starting with where it left off. Well, it left off with the erasing of that first year of the tribulation, making it into the acceptable year of the Lord. And so they start again at the beginning of the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, as soon as we are caught up, the body of Christ is caught up to be with the Lord. So Hosea's prophecy, what about that? It applies to this point, you know, to this situation. In Hosea 1:9, Hosea told Israel that God said, "Call his name Lo Am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." Well, that's happened. Where did it happen? I believe it happened, there's some disagreement as to whether it happened in Acts 7 or Acts 28 or somewhere in between, but it was in that area, in that 25-year span there, that brief span. I tend to think it was right at... that's a fact, yeah, that it did happen. I think it happened at the fall of Israel in Acts 7. And after that, Israel as a nation wasn't courted by God, wasn't offered the kingdom, but individuals, God in his mercy, gave a diminishing period after Acts 7 in which individual Jews could still believe. And that all ended with Israel's blinding and casting away when Paul read Isaiah's casting away curse from Isaiah 6, read it to him in Acts 28, 25 through 29, the last half chapter of Acts. No more to write. It ended. So, but you are not my people. I will not be your God. That's a prophecy that Hosea made. It didn't happen at that time. It happened later in Acts. So God is prophesying that there will be a time when Israel will stop being God's people, for a while at least. And that's what happened at the end of Acts, or during Acts, whichever way you look at it. And I don't see much difference, you know, whichever way you look at it, but I could be wrong. But God inspired Paul to pronounce Isaiah's casting away curse on Israel in Acts 28, verses 25 through 29. And we need to read it at least once here. So, starting in Acts 28, verse 25, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed." After Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, "Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and not perceive." That's blindness. "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles," and that is sent. In other words, present tense, at that time it was sent, it was being sent unto the Gentiles, "and that they will hear it." They will hear it. And that's the strongest of the three proclamations that the Gentiles would get to hear the gospel. Acts 13, Acts 18, and here in Acts 28. That's the strongest one. It goes beyond any of the previous proclamations. Verse 29, "And when he had said these things, the Jews departed, and they had great reasoning among themselves." But that suspended their special standing with God. They can still come to God in the same way you and I can, but they don't have that blessing that they had before, that earthly physical blessing. Jews that get saved now in this dispensation and in the mystery of Christ, they don't, in the end times, they don't rule on earth with the rest of Israel. They are now body of Christ members, and the body of Christ has their conversation in heaven. And we are caught up to be with the Lord in heaven by then. excuse me just a minute, please. So, during the book of Acts, Israel was diminishing and getting closer and closer to being totally cast away, which we see, you know, you can see it there in the last half chapter of Acts. And it was because of the nation's, Israel's apostasy, their idolatry and iniquity. And it was capped by when they put them on the cross, Jesus on the cross. They rejected their Messiah. They would not receive him. They would not believe he was the Messiah. Even after he rose and went back to heaven, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost by stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. But this casting away during the early part of Acts, it hadn't happened yet. From the writing of Paul in Acts 20, it doesn't happen. Okay, well, I've got something in my notes here I'm not going to read because I'm still considering which way it is on that part. So, but Paul had he had still left some time to preach the gospel of Christ. He wasn't done preaching it yet. The gospel of salvation to the Jews, to the proselytes, to the Jew blessing Greeks in Acts. He wasn't yet sent to all people. He was by Acts 28, but in Acts 7, when Israel fell, he wasn't. He wasn't saved yet, but in Acts 9, you see him going to the synagogue after synagogue. And at first, he just preached the gospel of God about who Jesus is. He was, you know, he was, what's the term, excited or exhilarated to find out that he was not struck dead for blaspheming the Holy Ghost, that God had somehow saved him by what Jesus did in his appearing to him, and in, on the cross is what it turned out to be. But Paul was trying to convince some of that remnant, Israel's remnant there, not, and there was a prophetic remnant, that was Peter, James, and John, but what the remnant Paul was going after was a remnant according to the election of grace. They would choose God's grace and believe the gospel of salvation, and thereby they would become members of the body of Christ at that time when they believe it, not having to wait to be in God's kingdom like the previous gospel was. In Romans 11, verse 25, Paul revealed that not all Israel was yet blinded, but that blindness in part is happened to Israel. Hold on a minute here. I'm going to try and address that later, I think. Let's go on with the notes. The remnant, they still had an opportunity to believe Paul's gospel of salvation. The remnant is always part of Israel, or a small part of Israel, when it's talking about a remnant. But Paul tells us in Romans 11:7 that the rest were blinded. The remnant, the believers, let me just look that up and get that wording right. Romans 11:7. What then? Israel hath not obtained what she seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. What were they seeking for? Resurrection. They were seeking for the gift of God, eternal life. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The rest were blinded. So, in Hosea 1:9, Lo am I means, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Not a definition, but a description, as given in the in that verse, Hosea 1, verse 9. So they stopped being God's people when that prophecy came true in Acts 28 or Acts 7. And we see in Scripture that it did not happen until God's timing. It happened to Israel that they were not God's people anymore. They were Lo am I. And so when you see in the next couple of verses after Hosea 1:9, you see him bringing people, making people that weren't Israel become Israel. Well, it's these people that, that's not the way it's worded, is it? That were not my people. Well, Israel had stopped being God's people. And they are the ones he's addressing when he makes them God's people again. It's not us. It's not the Gentiles that take Israel's place in the kingdom. There were a few Gentiles that became proselytes into Israel, nothing to do with the body of Christ. They were the ones grafted into the olive tree. Okay. So the olive tree can't be the unsearchable riches of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not, it doesn't appear in Scripture before Paul's epistle, before Paul was saved at the very earliest. I mean, it was only revealed to Paul. You're not going to be able to find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to be saved by today's gospel, which is the only gospel that saves today, by definition, and be part of the body of Christ, you can't go looking for discontinued gospels from a suspended program that God has mercy on Israel. They're all condemned so that he can have mercy on them all. I think that's verse Romans 11:32 or 32, I think it is. But if we can look in Ephesians chapter 3, we see that verses 4 through 9 tell us the mystery of the body of Christ is unsearchable. It's not, you know, search as you may, you cannot find it in the Bible before Paul was saved. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not in any previous prophecies or writings. Being unsearchable, it cannot be found before that time, before it was revealed to Paul. It was not told. You know, there's nothing in it. It was hidden. It was kept secret. And it was impossible to know about, because God only had it in his mind. He hadn't told, certainly not Israel's 12 apostles, but he hadn't told, hadn't told anybody until that time. That's my phone down there somewhere. Hold on just a minute. I just don't want to step on it. Sorry about that. Okay. So, the Lord Jesus used many phrases to assure us that what he revealed to Paul was new information. When I say the Lord Jesus, I'm not talking about in his earthly ministry, because it wasn't told then. It was told from heaven. Jesus Christ from heaven told Paul. He revealed it. Yeah, and it was never revealed before. It wouldn't have been a revelation. It would have been a reminding if it had been told before it was told Paul. According to Ephesians 3, verses 4 through 9, the body of Christ is part of the mystery that was revealed to Paul to reveal to us. And that mystery is unsearchable, according to Scripture. Let's read the verses, starting in verse 4 of Ephesians 3. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So keep reading Paul's epistles. Okay, verse 5, which, talking about the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And, of course, each of these verses needs to be discussed and talked about. But he's talking about being partakers of the body of Christ, of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. So he's made a minister of this gospel in this mystery, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. In other words, his power worked in me, he's saying. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, what they weren't able to hear before. In other words, it wasn't given before. It's a new pattern set up by Christ, by which he saved Paul and you know, those that follow after and can come to God in the same way that Paul did. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, or the togetherness of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. So let's just look at those verses again. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. the mystery of Christ, that's a secret of Christ. You know, Christ is just a different translation of, it's, I think, Greek, whereas the Jewish word is Messiah. The secret of Messiah. Messiah had a secret. He was put on the cross. He rose from the dead and went back to heaven and then revealed a secret. Sent back a secret by, well, he came back to the Damascus Road and began revealing an abundance of revelations to Apostle Paul, who became Apostle Paul. But that's, you know, the mystery of Christ has to do with this whole new system, this whole pattern that God set up of saving people. How to save people? How to save Paul? Declared to be unforgivable because of his speaking against the Holy Ghost and blaspheming the Holy Ghost there in Acts 7 at the end. But well, let's go on. You may understand my knowledge. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other words, the secret is now written down. You need to read it to understand it. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And just a note here, some people will try and fight this and say, that shows that it was revealed to the 12 apostles. Plural apostles? Well, you know, if you look in Acts 14, verse 14, I believe it is, Barnabas is an apostle in the body of Christ, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. So Barnabas is called an apostle too. That's plural. And if you look in I think it's 1 or 2 Thessalonians, in fact, I should show it, actually. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So that's Paul talking. Who is he with? Who is he talking about that was with him that would be the apostles of Christ? Well, if you look back in the first verse of 1 Thessalonians, he tells us it's Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians. So Silvanus is, you know, Silas is thought to be a nickname for Silvanus, and Timothy is thought to be the nickname for Timotheus, excuse me. So that's plural is all I'm saying, is plural apostles. But if you look at that phrase, holy apostles, it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Apostles come first there. That's not the way it was in Israel's history. The prophets, you know, they were all through. Moses was a prophet. You've got Isaiah long before Christ. You've got Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. All those prophets came first, and then you get Israel's 12 apostles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So it would have to say his holy prophets and his prophets and holy apostles if it meant Israel's 12 apostles. It means Paul and those few apostles around him, and the prophets were those that acknowledged, you know, 1 Corinthians 14:37, those prophets acknowledged that what Paul, you know, which of Paul's writings were the word of God, put it that way, I guess. Not that there were some that were grossly errant or anything, but God wanted certain parts of you know, what was written kept and preserved as the pure word of God. And those prophets, and I'm not talking about Jeremiah again, I'm talking about body of Christ prophets is what I'm trying to pull up the verse and talk at the same time, sorry. If any man think himself to be a prophet, let him or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, that's the definition of the prophet's job, is to acknowledge that Paul's writings were the word of God. Or this isn't, you know, but these are, you know, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, but that previous letter before 1 Corinthians, not part of the word of God. That was their job. That was what they did. And they came after the apostles, not before. So that's who it's talking about. It's talking about the body of Christ that was revealed to, not to Israel. Verse 6. What is that that mystery made that wasn't made known but's now revealed? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now remember, when the Bible is talking about Genesis 12 and Genesis 17 and Genesis 22, about the prophecies and the covenants, that's plural. When you look here, it's his promise, singular. Partakers of his promise. What about the same body? The same as what? If you read through all of Ephesians 3, not once will you find reference to Israel. So this same Israel, it's not saying the Gentiles are in the same body as Israel. Israel is never in a body, certainly not the body of Christ. Israel is in Christ, the apostles, it said, were in Christ, but Israel is waiting for their salvation at the return of Christ. And they will get the righteousness then. God will pour out on them a spirit of grace and supplication, and he will put his righteousness in them. But that hasn't happened. The same body. What is Paul, after the end of Acts, talking about when he says the same body? Well, it's the same body, these alien Gentiles to whom he was finally sent later on, they'll be surging into this body of Christ meetings that were populated by the believers in Paul's gospel in Acts. The Jews and the Greeks. So you got the Jews and the Greeks in the body of Christ, and you got all these heathen, alien, barbarians coming in because they believe the gospel too. It was conflict. There was, you know, Paul tells them to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. But that's not Israel. The same body as Israel. It's the same body that already existed is what these Gentiles were coming into, these late in Paul's ministry Gentiles. So, and I was made whereof, talking about the gospel of Christ, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's where it comes in. If you go back early in Paul's, in fact, right at the beginning of when he was saved there, Acts 9:15, he's given a preview of his life. And it says, God is telling Ananias about Saul of Tarsus, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Well, that wasn't ascending, because he didn't go to the Gentiles until, you know, look at Ephesians is way late. Later on, late in Acts, he is sent to the Gentiles. But it's not, this isn't ascending. This is a prophecy or a foretelling of his life. He's going to the Gentiles. He'll go to kings. It wasn't until Acts 23:11 that he was sent to kings, or told of his going to a king. And finally it says the children of Israel, which is who he starts with. So, you know, if it was ascending, then he was delinquent all through Acts for not going to the Gentiles. And you can't find him going to the Gentiles, other than the God-fearing Gentiles that were trying to come to God through Israel's program, sitting in the synagogues, learning Israel's program. Those Greeks. So we need to finish up here. let me try and get back to my notes. the body of Christ is not in the Old Testament. However, the olive tree is. We just read it in the Old Testament there in Jeremiah 11. And since the olive tree is in the Old Testament, and the body of Christ is not, it wasn't revealed in the Old Testament, it was a mystery, not being in the Old Testament, then the olive tree cannot be the body of Christ. They're too different. Also, those who were grafted into the olive tree were not grafted into the body of Christ then. They were grafted into Israel. And this agrees with what we saw in the scriptures earlier. So, God now saves by the gospel into the body of Christ, not into Israel. Not by Israel's kingdom gospel of a kingdom coming that they had already rejected and God wasn't offering anymore. In Acts 13, Paul preaches three times that God's way of saving people has changed. Way back in Acts 13. Firstly, Israel has fallen, and according to Acts 13:39, Christ's new pattern now saves all believers in his gospel into the body of Christ. The body of Christ isn't mentioned there, but that's what the, you know, it's later it's said that they're all in the one body. So that's what they were going into at the time that they believe, not at some future time when Christ returns to blot out Israel's sins. No, we're saved immediately upon belief. Welcome to the room. Israel's ministration of the law didn't do that. It didn't save them immediately. Look at Acts 13:39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Well, that's the first thing. Secondly, in the three times that God's way of saving people had changed, according to Paul, in Acts 13:46, verse 46 and 48, Paul tells the Israelites in his audience there in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. What what Gentiles? Well, the ones that were listed as being there, the Greeks. Notice, Paul didn't say we turn to all the Gentiles. Paul wasn't yet sent to all the Gentiles. Not scripturally, anyway. Some people think he was sent to all the Gentiles by then, but there's nothing in scripture to hint at that. So, the only Gentiles that we can find record of Paul turning to at that time were those Greeks in the synagogue. They're listed in Acts 13:26. Those God-fearing, synagogue-going, Israel-blessing Gentiles that Paul was speaking of in Acts 13:48. They were glad. They were the ones that were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And this was... There were the three times that Paul warned the Jews that the gospel would be going to the Gentiles. But you can tell, we read the third one and last one at the end of Acts earlier, much more strong than this one. It was a stronger, it was the finality to it. They will hear it. So, the third time closed the book on Israel. Until God regathers them, or gathers them, I guess is the scriptural word, gathers them after the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. And so he's going to tell them a mystery, a secret, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Here it is, that blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And that limits their blindness until they're blinded until the time that the fullness of the Gentiles be coming. Come into the body of Christ, what God is bringing them into now. Okay, thirdly, let me just go back. Hold on. Okay, this is the third time that Paul tells them in that sermon that God is changing the way he saves people. Paul, inspired of God to write Holy Scripture, as we stated before, you know, under the scrutiny of the prophets, too, and needing affirmation, acknowledgement, I guess is the word. But Paul reapplies what had been prophesied for Israel and will happen in the future. Isaiah's prophecy, he prophesied in Isaiah 60, verse 3, that the Gentiles shall come to thy light, Israel, and kings to thy brightness, the brightness of thy rising. That's going to happen after Isaiah 60, verse 1. Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. When the Lord returns, that's after we're caught up, though. That's after at least 7 years after the body of Christ is caught up to be with the Lord. When the Lord returns, thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, Israel. Paul had been committed to, it had been committed to Paul with the dispensing of the gospel. The gospel being the gospel of Christ. And it's the gospel that he first received. The gospel, the only gospel he preached for salvation. So Paul reveals to these synagogue Jews and Greeks that the light of the glory of the Lord that had been upon Israel, that the Gentiles shall come to the light and thy light and kings to the brightness of the rising. Paul now in Acts 13:47 says that the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So that light was now, by Acts 13, coming from Paul and his message and his office of apostle of the Gentiles, and not from Israel anymore. In Acts 13:48, those God-fearing synagogue-going that you find in the synagogues there, Gentiles, they were also called Greeks in some places, they were glad and they glorified the Lord. But in verse 45 of Acts 13, the Jews were filled with envy, contradicting and blaspheming, it says. Contradicting and blaspheming, yeah. Go down to verse 50. Those Jews raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. We don't want you here anymore. And so the God-fearing Gentiles were glad and believed the gospel of salvation, but the Jews just took another step in their diminishing downward, away from what they had been, God's people, and the rise of Israel was the rest of the world's riches. I mean, the rest of the world could come to God through Israel at that time, in a limited way, but you know, the new gospel that was saving Paul, that Christ sent to save Paul, it was a new pattern, and it was growing in wideness. What's the word? It was spreading, I should say, I guess, at the same time as Israel's gospel and opportunities were diminishing, and that's the scriptural word, diminishing. Romans 11, verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And you can see the diminishing comes after the fall. The fall was Acts 7. The diminishing was between the fall and the casting away in Acts 28. That latter three quarters of Acts. So the olive tree is Israel, and those branches broken off were the Israelites that did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. Those from a wild olive tree that weren't grafted in were those that started in the same position as that Syrophoenician woman that came to the Lord as a Gentile. She was she blessed God, though. She was Syrophoenician by nation, not Israelitish, not Jewish by nation. She was Syrophoenician, but the Bible calls her a Greek. So being a Greek is not talking about what nation you're from. It's talking about the Greeks' propensity to want knowledge and seek after knowledge and wisdom. And in the synagogues, the wisdom they were seeking for was the wisdom of God, the wisdom and knowledge of God in the scriptures that were kept in the synagogues. And they came and they brought their tithes and blessed Israel. God said he would bless them that bless Israel. So they believed that Jesus was the Christ. They were Gentiles. They were not from Israel's green olive tree, but they came into the synagogues. They came and they blessed Israel, and they were seeking the blessing of God there. And when they, all their males eventually became circumcised, that was the grafting into the olive tree, into Israel, that Paul spoke of. Pardon me. Excuse me just a minute. So they were not grafted into the body of Christ. As you can remember that we went through why they couldn't be grafted into the body of Christ, because they were grafted into the olive tree. The olive tree is in the Old Testament. The body of Christ is mystery, only revealed in the New Testament, in Paul's writings, actually. So it's not in the Old Testament. They couldn't have been grafted into it. The Bible never says anything about anybody getting into the body of Christ other than by believing the gospel that Paul preached and the Holy Spirit spiritually baptizing those believers into the one body of Christ. That's the only way to get in, not by grafting or graphing, as the Bible says. At one time, graft people into the green olive tree, which was Israel. So we're not denying what the Bible says. We're trying to define what it says so we know how to believe it. I believe that those that were grafted into the green olive tree were believers that were grafted into Israel. They were believing Israel's doctrine. That was all, Israel's doctrine stopped being effective in Acts 7 for the nation of Israel, to whom it was sent. And in Acts 9, Paul was saved by a different gospel, a new pattern that Christ set up and talks about in 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. Yep, you're welcome. I'm done.